Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor South Africa, Island of Secrets. I'm your host, Shannon Gates, here with our final player deep dive of 2019. Not our last bit of coverage. We still got a little bit more coming up, but we are here with the final player deep dive of the season. So to do that with me, please welcome a true Survivor fan, now a player, and really the face of the season's jury, I would say as well, Jeffrey Cook-Tonneson. Jeff, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Shannon, and thank you for pronouncing my surname correctly. It's awesome to chat to you.
Yeah, I feel like that's a rarity in terms of how I've been pronouncing people's names this season and surnames, so I'm glad I could get one right.
You got it.
You're almost pretty easy. Yeah, Jeff, it's been now like a couple of weeks since, how many, 2-3 weeks since the season has ended and the reunion. How's life been since then?
Life has been pretty good. Very, very busy. I made a promise to myself while I was there to focus more on my kids and spend a lot of time with them. So I've just been running around playing dad and getting back into the swing of things with work and life. And yeah, it's been good though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were, you know, obviously a really big player in the season and you were a major part of the jury as well. So I feel like I have a lot of questions of permutations and you, I think, had a good read on this jury. So I've got a lot of questions for you later, but I want to kind of get into your journey from the start and kind of start with what was your experience of the show as a fan before you applied?
Oh, I've always just been such a huge, big fan of the show. It's actually so strange because I remember really watching the first episode of the first season and I knew without a shadow of a doubt then that I was going to be cast one day. At that stage, there wasn't even a South African version of it, but I just absolutely knew I was going to be on. So it's kind of just been sort of like a life mission for me to get cast. So to actually have been awarded the opportunity to get put on is just so incredible. So incredible. It was my third time trying. The first two times were a shocking fail. But yeah, third time's the charm.
Which other seasons did you apply for?
I applied for season 5. And season 6 of Survivor South Africa.
Right. Because I don't know, I watched your application video when I was doing the preseason stuff. What do you think made the difference this time to get you cast?
I really do think that it was the number of life changes that I'd gone through. I mean, the first, it was a live audition the first time that I applied. I had nothing really going for me. I was just an overweight dad. That was it. Second one as well, maybe I didn't put enough effort in. And then, you know, it was just a number of life changes, I think, because I had gone through somewhat of a midlife crisis and decided to clean up my act, lost a bunch of weight, ran the Comrades Marathon, which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, just like a casual 90Ks, right? Like,
just like out of the blue.
Really?
But that's how I like to base my life decisions on these like last minute decision type things.
Yeah. And like you are, you know, a family man. What's that decision like to go out there and, you know, leave a lot behind to have this experience?
I must be honest with you. I never really expected it to be as jarring as it did. This is probably going to make me sound like a terrible parent, but I do love my kids very, very much. But I did feel as if I needed a break. I was actually quite looking forward to having at least 39 days off. But that fell out immediately. The minute you are isolated from your kids without any way of communication, not so much as like a WhatsApp or a phone call or a message to say that they, you know, okay. Yeah, it was terrible. I missed them with an absolute, absolute fury. It was almost eye-opening.
Yeah, I mean, going through the application process, having failed 2 times before, did you have a lot of hope that you would be able to get in?
I just knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was going to get in. It was just a matter of timing as to when it was going to take place. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't overly confident, although I must say the same day that the auditions opened, my passport had expired and I went and stood in a home affairs queue for an entire day from sunrise to sunset to get my passport. So maybe subconsciously, I really felt as if this was my year.
Yeah. And so getting further and further through the application process and finally getting onto the show, what was your reaction like?
It never really felt real. It's so hard to explain how unreal this experience has felt to me. Even now chatting to you, it's like, was I even on Survivor? How did this happen? How is this my life? So every step I got a little bit further, I mean, you get a little bit more excited, but there's always that like negativity at the back of your head. I remember when I went for my final panel interview, I just felt as if I'd blown it. I really did. Like, oh, everyone was mean to me. It was terrible. And when I got that phone call saying that I was in, I thought that I was definitely not in. So I answered the phone with like a bit of dread. And then, yeah, they said to me, "You're in," and I screamed like a girl. My wife was in the bath. She like jumped out the bath and she thought I was having a heart attack or something. But very exciting, very exciting.
Yeah, I'm seeing some running themes. That last panel interview, people, like, they tended, I think, to be really harsh because I've heard that before. And a few people got a call and thought that, you know, they were getting a no. So I feel like there were some similar tendencies for a lot of people in the cast.
Yeah, no, I genuinely thought that was it. So up until that, the whole process before was just like, I just knew I had nailed everything. It just felt so good afterwards. But yo, that panel interview was something else. It was incredibly nerve-wracking. I remember even at the end, I still said, I feel like I need to say more. And they're like, you've already had your chance. Like, oh, damn, it's done.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, they obviously saw something that they liked, which is cool.
Yeah, so when you got onto the show, did you do much prep before you went out onto the island?
I didn't actually do a hang of a lot of prep. I did practice making fire because I hadn't even so much as lit a bra or barbecue, as you guys would call it, before that. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that I did specifically survivor-related was learn how to make fire with flint. But apart from that, I mean, I'd recently lost a huge amount of weight, so I was okay with starving. Mm-hmm. I had doing a fair amount of running, so my base level of fitness was there. So there wasn't really much that I had to do in preparation.
Yeah, well, you know, you're going to go out onto Island of Secrets, and it's this whole big twist about, like, you know, the strongest and the weakest and this kind of, like, foreboding island on the other side. What are your initial reactions, you know, firstly on the boat and then getting to the beach about the situation you found yourself in and the tribe that you found yourself in?
I remember actually just looking around on those boats and thinking, what the heck am I doing here? Why did they cast me? Because everyone were these like huge, like giant Adonis looking people, like these huge physical threats. And I'm just this like little middle-aged dad with a dad bod. It was a little bit intimidating, but I looked around. My tribe struck me as being one of the better from the get-go. I really had an affinity for Mike and Bubba right from like on the boats. I took a good look at them. I was like, okay, these are going to be my people. But apart from that, yeah, just a little bit of intimidation, I think, because of the sheer like size of the people. I remember even the first challenge when we were splitting up, where we were going blindfolded, I was going to go with Rosalie, or we all decided like unanimously who's going with who. So I was going with Rosalie, and Rosie was like, no, I don't want to go with them. I'm like, why wouldn't you want to go with me? So I was really, like, immediately feeling like I was like a physical weakness. But yeah. I ended up being paired with my brother, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, well, you weren't put as the weakness. That was, you know, Letitia and Rocco is going to go to Island of Secrets. You know, we see that four come together, but Rocco comes back and wants a bit of a man's alliance. Like, what were your relationships early on, positive and negative, on the beach?
I've actually really never expected to have formed any sort of like emotional connections or anything like that. That wasn't what I was going in for. I said beforehand, I did that famous survivor line where I said I didn't need to come to make friends and that type of stuff. So I wasn't expecting to actually really like the people. And really, probably within the first 10 minutes of starting to make our shelter, which was a mess, I already had these huge emotional sort of connections towards Mubba, Rosalie, Mike especially. And I mean, everybody, I feel as if I was put in the nice tribe. You had the physical tribe and you had the clever tribe. And then I think we were just like the doofuses, like the funny guys, which was cool. I mean, we just laughed so much. I just loved those guys so much.
I don't know if you were the doofuses, like you were the ones who won all the challenges. But yeah, I do think it's something that gets lost on Survivor, that it's like, it really is like a friend making competition. Like when, you know, you say you're not going to go there to make friends. It's like, this is the competition to make friends, you know, this is the competition of bond. So the fact that you're out there and making those friends from the get-go, like that's, you know, the bread and butter of the game.
Absolutely. I mean, it was always my intention to make friends. I was always going to go and, I mean, the social game was the game that I was planning on playing. So I was going to just be so nice to everybody and everyone was going to love me and then I was going to cut them off one by one. But I didn't expect to actually just really like and end up liking them. I mean, some of the people from my original tribe are probably my favorite people at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, it was a cool thing to learn about myself as well. That, yeah, I mean, you don't always have to be so guarded with things. I mean, if you there's really good people out there just for no good reason, but to be good.
Yeah, I mean, beyond the four, a couple of people are going to be really important. You know, Letitia and Doral, who much later in your game really become swing votes. What was your initial relationship like with them?
Darrell to me was, shame, he's such a nice guy. He really is a genuinely nice guy, and he's quite funny. But he was sort of like a bit of a non-feature. You know, he got the purple edits in the beginning, but I mean, he really sort of was in the background, not really mingling a lot with us. I mean, we all chatted at night and things like that. Letitia, I really didn't expect it to get past the first few votes. I didn't factor into the fact that we were going to win so many challenges in sequence. So I never really made much of an effort, I will be honest, from my side to really get to know her, because I wanted her out. To me, she was weakening our tribe.
Yeah, what about Rocco?
Rocco, I enjoyed initially. He did come on way too strong. I mean, he walked into the beach, he hardly even greeted me and he pulled me aside. But I mean, he's a lot more clever and strategic than he comes across, I think, because he's got a very broad accent. But he's actually quite intelligent, and he came up with some good ideas and suggestions, and I was listening. I was never going to, I don't think, go against my alliance unless, you know, Mike had been keen on doing it. Because I think the first confessional that I had, which they didn't air, I actually said, Rosalie, Mike, and Mubba are going to be an alliance for us. It's going to be a good alliance. I mean, we were all the blindfolded people in the beginning. And it just sort of made sense. I mean, we all have sort of similar personalities and interests and things like that. So I probably would have always gone with them. But I mean, I had no issue with Rocco at all. I mean, I actually quite enjoyed him as a person. And yeah, he's quite strategic.
Yeah, you talk about that connection and those similar personalities. Like, what especially was it that bonded you so tightly with that group that's really going to be such important relationships for you throughout the game?
I actually really just think it was suffering together. Everybody had such a good, how do I put this? Everybody was always just in such a decent mood. And I mean, the circumstances were brutal, so much worse than it looked like on TV. I wish they could have showed how bad it was, because we just froze ourselves to death. I mean, we all used to sit like upright and hold each other in the middle of the night, and that whole shelter is like shaking because we're so cold, and we like laughing. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's in high spirits. I think that was the what really bonded us together. The fact that everybody was able to, you know, keep their head above water and keep a smile on their face, even if they're suffering.
Yeah, I mean, the dynamics in that group, we did get to see a bit of it, but you never went to tribal council. If you had gone to tribal council, who do you think would have gone home?
I genuinely do believe that Letitia would have gone home first. I think that Rocco might have fought against it a little bit, but we had the numbers from our side. The tribe really did unanimously agree at that point that she was a physical threat. And I mean, nobody wants to get somebody like that to merge in any case, because then they get goated to the end. Mm-hmm. So I would have obviously, from my side, I mean, I'm not going to say it would have definitely happened, but I would have definitely lobbied for Letitia to go first. She's a lovely person. She's lovely. But yeah, just at that stage, it was in everyone's best interest to get her out, I would say.
Yeah. So you're going to swap onto Saola. Immediately, you're going to see Rosalie go home. What was that reaction like, seeing one of your main allies go on the other side?
I was a little bit devastated, but I did expect it. I must be honest, when she landed up being the only one really from our original alliance to stay there besides Federal, I knew that it was going to be one of them next, one of the two of them. And to me, she was more of a threat at that point, because she is, that woman is incredibly, incredibly intelligent. So, so intelligent. And she's just so, like, she picks up on things almost instantly. She was almost scary to play with. So to me, it was logical. I wasn't overly shocked. I mean, obviously I was sad because I would have liked to have gone much further with her. But yeah, I mean, it's the nature of the game as well, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, you're going to get onto this new tribe with Nathan, Steffi, and Kubus as well as your three. What were the new dynamics like? Because this was another tribe where we were, like, confused about the dynamics, and then Nathan's trying to throw challenges, and we assume that would have sent him home. Like, what were the dynamics of this new group?
It was an incredibly strange dynamic. I was obviously just very happy to have Mike and Mubba with me. And I felt as if we had the numbers, we just needed to swing one more person across. But John, the dynamics was very strange. Kubus was quite hesitant to work with anybody. So, you know, we were trying to approach him and see if we could get him to come with us. And he was just kind of like dismissive a little bit. So that was a little bit nerve-wracking. Nathan, I couldn't understand why he was still in the game with all of these injuries. I really, really battled with that. Another very nice person, but I don't know. He just seemed to really battle. Like, he was really battling. So, I mean, we all got along. You have to get along. The situation arises, we'll calls for it. So, I mean, at night we'd all climb into the shelter together and everybody's laughing and joking. I mean, it wasn't like actual animosity and fighting. But yeah, it was definitely a shift from what I was used to. I mean, we were all like kumbaya before that.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think would have gone home in this tribe iteration if you'd gone to tribal?
Had we gone to tribal, it would have most probably been Steffi. I probably would have tried to push for Steffi at that point, only because she was a physical threat. And Nathan hadn't spent enough time with him at that point, I think, to realize that, he was going to weaken us.
Yeah, I mean, were you very aware that he was throwing challenges at that stage of the game?
That one challenge with that slide puzzle at the end, it was almost blatantly obvious. I think at that point I realized that he was trying to throw the challenge. I don't know what I thought he was trying to throw it for at that point. I don't know. I assumed that he just wanted to go home.
Right.
Maybe he had another plan in his own mind, but to me it just seemed as if he was over it.
Right, yeah, because we thought he would go home. So if that was what he was aiming for, then, like, job well done. You know, maybe could he have thought Kubus was going home? Or do you think he was maybe, if he had a plan that wasn't himself, coming for Laomei?
I'm not too sure. If I would love to actually know what his reasoning behind it was. Maybe he was trying to come for one of us. I'm just not quite sure where he would have got the numbers from, because, like I said, it was the three of us strong already, so we just needed to swing one person with us. And I do believe that we would have got Kubus on board if we had said to him, listen, there's no deviation from the three of us. We go from day one. You're going to go with us or you're going to go home. I think that he would have voted with us whoever we had decided on.
Yeah. At this stage of the game as well, you get to go to the Island of Secrets and get some sweets. So talk us through that experience as a fan, getting to go out and, you know, have that decision and then the lie coming back to the tribe.
What an absolute incredible experience that was. That was definitely the highlights of my Survivor journey, I think. Going to the Island of Secrets was, I needed to have gone to the Island of Secrets as a fan of the game. I would have been devastated if I'd gone out and I'd never got a chance to experience it. That island is absolutely beautiful. It was just me. I got to just be myself for a little bit and not worry about like having a target on my back or trying to impress people. So I just got to sort of degroup a bit. There was a snorkel on the island and some fins. So I went snorkeling. I built myself a huge fire. I had a bonfire and a little hermit crab came and sat next to me while I was busy chowing my rice. I made myself a pot of rice. It was just awesome, awesome. I loved it. I must be honest, I really wanted an advantage. Mm. I think that's why I just sort of tried to factor that extra little lie in there, because I was devastated. I mean, obviously I wanted sweets, but I really didn't want sweets. I wanted an advantage in the game.
Yeah.
I spent so much of my time trying to find an idol on that island. I actually dug until my fingernails were like almost off. I didn't find anything. So yeah, I mean, that was a little bit devastating for me to have walked back with some sweets, but I think that it did help me form some decent relationships in that tribe. Steffi was incredibly excited about the sweets. And I got to throw in that little bit of extra something, which would make me seem as if I was doing it for the tribe and not for myself.
Yeah, because you had the sweets and firewood, was it? So were there any rules around who you could share the sweets with? Because we've seen this in Australian Survivor, but it's like you can't tell everyone, but you obviously did, so that must have been allowed.
Yeah, the crew did mention that we could keep it for ourselves or share it with the tribe.
Right.
So what I would have been able to do is I would have been able to hide it without them knowing that it was there, and then obviously eaten from it when I want to, or, you know, pull in a few alliance members with me and say, listen, okay, three of us, for instance, are sharing the sweets. I wasn't so keen on that idea, only because really, my memory is shocking. And sometimes, you know, I wouldn't want to let something slip or, you know, and then I get found out and then that just throws a target. I just didn't want to do anything at that point that was going to throw a target on my back, because I felt as if I was kind of going under the radar slightly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're allowed to share it, that's definitely the move. I feel like, also, imagine if it's just you or you and a couple of people subsisting on this diet of pretty much only sweets. Like, that sounds sickening.
I do think at that point that was pretty much our entire diet in any case. Like, spotting for breakfast.
Oh, no. Yeah, I have a sweet tooth, but that's not right. Like, that is not, it does not sound good.
Yeah, no, at that stage I was craving something more sustainable, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, but like the relationship with Nathan, when you're going to swap, he's going to put in a good word with Rob for Mike. So like there must have been some positivity there with them? Like, did you feel that as well when you were swapping to be with him on another tribe?
Yeah, I did. I actually felt quite solid with Nathan most of the time. I was actually quite excited about the prospect of us being able to align together, XLMA and XLULA. I think that would have worked out very, very nicely. But then just things sort of started getting, it started unraveling a bit with him being injured all the time. And I did expect, obviously, merge to happen considerably later. I'm not quite sure why I didn't think that went through properly. And, it, you know, then it would have been okay because I was going to split up that alliance, which would have been great. But, yeah, so I don't know what to say about that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay, so you, to swap to the other tribe, like Rocco goes, you know, on the other beach. Who at that stage, because you're in a pretty threatening faction of people, like you, Maba, and Mike are really tight, and you're a very powerful three. And we know that Sotula were really tight. You know, obviously there are parts of Ta'alo that were tight, the former Ta'alo. Like, who were you looking at as a really, the threatening group at that time?
At that stage, genuinely, the biggest threats were the Sotula. I really was genuinely concerned about the original Sotula. I was from day one. They were a threat to me literally from day one. I remember every challenge I went to, I just said, can they just lose? Can they just lose? Like, I just wanted them out, all of them. So, yeah, I think that's where the reasoning came in behind just wanting to get Nathan out at that point. Although maybe because they were so strong, we should have considered trying to band with them. And but, you know, that we probably just would have landed up being picked off in any case. So,
I mean, you kind of did both, though. But like, because then you had Nicole as your Sa'ula member that you were bonded with.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel as if I felt as if Nicole and I had a great connection. So at Merge, I knew I was in trouble. I knew without a doubt, I was definitely in trouble because Rob was angry. Rob was very angry. But I did expect Nicole to put a good word in for me because I did think that we had formed somewhat of a decent relationship. But I don't know how much of the relationship building that she did was true and how much it was to advance in the game.
Yeah, I'm so interested in this relationship with Nicole, which is going to be key, you know, right to final tribal council, because you only meet her here at this tribe swap. You know, you have the huge move against Nathan, which we'll definitely talk about with her. And then you're only, you know, in the merge with her for a couple of votes, but you were so burned by her. So how did you get so close so quickly to really feel that betrayal?
She's actually incredibly, incredibly good socially. She does have an incredible way of pulling you in. I got along with her incredibly well, much better than even the edits suggested. We were chatting and singing and climbing trees together. And I got along very well with her. I just battled with certain things that she said, which I'd prefer not to mention, but she really did used to play like an emotional card on things. And then she would use it almost as currency. If she felt as if her head was on the line, then she would start crying about something, or, you know, it didn't sit well with me in the end. If she had turned around in the end and she was able to say, you know what, this is the person that I am, or I'm not this person, but I played this way on purpose to get further, I would have been down with it. But she never actually owned that game, which to me is not so great.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few really key relationships that come into play at this tribe. Dante and Meryl as well, which is going to be a little bit negative for the small amount of time you get to play with Meryl especially. So what started that off on such a wrong foot?
I actually have no idea what went wrong. I do think that they realized that they were on a chopping block, as were we, and they just thought that the best solution would be to gang up on me and Bubba. It's sad. I would have actually really liked to have played with them, and I actually really haven't got to know them on Ponderosa. I like them very, very much as human beings, both of them. But yeah, I just think that the timing was off there, and it just became this huge, big negative scenario.
I mean, you're going to be, you and Maba are going to be the last couple of people to go to tribal here in episode 8 with the Nathan vote. I think episode 8, wasn't it? So that's a lot of time. Was it even episode 9? Like, that's a lot of time not to go to tribal council. How do you feel that affected your game, especially as a fan? You know, you see this happen, and it can be obviously good, you haven't gone to tribal council, but there's some negative stuff there. Did you feel that on the island, or were you just happy to be safe?
I was very, very happy to be safe for probably about the first 4 or 5 votes, and then it just started like freaking me out terribly every time we didn't go to tribal council. I mean, obviously I wasn't going to consider things like throwing challenges because I just don't believe in that. But yeah, it was becoming a concern to me. It did land up throwing a target on my back when people said that I had playing. It never gave me a chance to really know that my alliances were set in stone because I never got a chance to test any of it. So yeah, I do think it was a slight detriment to my game, not having gone up until that point.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to talk about the Nathan move, which I think is like the biggest part of your game and something we spoke about so much. Like, we were trying to dig into the reasons you were doing this. Like, was it, you know, how much was Nathan being a liability in challenges? How much was this, all the threat that we've been talking about? Like, what was your thought process in bringing that move together?
I do think that my main objective, which is, you know, I would love to lie about it, but I do think that a huge big portion of it was the fact that he just wasn't contributing, and he was really weighing us down as a tribe. I was having a target thrown on my back for being lazy, and Nathan was sitting in the shelter all day while Nicole washed his hands and feet and things like that. It was weird. So to me, that was my primary, but I did genuinely need to split up that Zula alliance. I thought, like I said, I touched on earlier on, I thought that I was going to have a little bit more time for Rob to forget about Nathan. Although I didn't actually realize that their bond was as incredibly strong as what it was. But yeah, I mean, that was the reasoning going into it. I wanted to split that alliance up and I wanted to keep our tribe stronger so we could carry on winning challenges.
Yeah. And Nicole in this move, who votes with you, like, how did you make that happen? Because we see this like really tight bond on Island of Secrets as well with that shared idol and the Saula bond, you know, forged in the first few days. And then she's turned on him when she could have gone with him. She could have, you know, told him, or she could have gone with Dante and Meryl. What factors do you think played into her going with you?
At that stage, Nicole and I had a pretty good bond. We were actually very tight, to me, in any case. So I do think speaking to her on that personal level and trying to get her to believe that all we were doing was best for Nathan is what actually pulled her in. But also, Nicole was strategic. I don't know how emotional she was at any given point towards the other people, because I mean, she went with the numbers. I don't think she really had in her own mind much of an option for a solid no vote on her. So I just think at that point that she probably just went where she felt the most secure.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much of this, especially from Nicole, of like, this is for Nathan, you know, this is what's best for him. But what we're seeing from Nathan on the show is like, he wants to be there, like, he's not quitting. So was it for Nathan, or like, from your perspective, did you see any of that, or was it very much like, for whatever your reasons were, keeping the tribe strong, you know, that's all legitimate, but it's for you guys? Was that how you were seeing it, or did you genuinely see a bit of like, we need to put Nathan out of his misery for him?
I played that from my side to get Nicole to feel as if she was doing the morally correct thing, because she seems, you know, quite adamant to have come out in a good light. So I knew that the only way to get her to vote against him was if she could buffer it somehow. I can't speak for her and decide if she really felt that she was doing him a favor. But yeah, like you said, if at that point he is saying that he wanted to stay in the game, then yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. So, you know, at this vote, another thing you have to do is like get into this really public fight with Dante, especially, and like the hug you with my fist moment happens. Walk us through all of that, and then also the vibe around camp after that moment.
Oh, frosty. So, so frosty. It got very cold in Samoa after that. I actually enjoyed that a lot more than I should have. And antagonizing him was one of the highlights as well for me. That tribal council went on for a lot longer than the edit showed, obviously, as well. So, I mean, I can't even blame him for wanting to hug me with his fist. He did not overreact. I had been gunning him for some time, trying to get that reaction out, because I was just concerned that Meryl was going to play her idol either for herself or for him. So I just wanted to make sure that they were both blatantly aware that their heads were on the chopping block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because you'd say that you had thought there was going to be a merge coming, that you'd have some time to get rid of them. Why did this tribe think that the merge was coming so much later? The other tribe seems to think with the Spitshaker 7 that it's coming really soon, but this whole tribe obviously didn't. Like, why was that the thought, do you think?
I actually have no idea. I wish I could justify it to myself. Because, I mean, I've watched all of Survivor incessantly. It's not like completely unheard of. I think it's just because the scenario just didn't, you know, it didn't fit in with my idea.
Right.
So I just pushed it so far out of my head that I didn't even think about it. I genuinely did not believe that merge was coming that close. I really, I knew it was coming. I just thought I might have another vote or two, even just one more vote, so I could split Meryl and Dante up, and then, you know, give Rob and them a little bit of time to forget about the Nathan thing. Mm-hmm. But it just happened like the damn next day. It was frightening.
Yeah. So, like, run us through your thought process when merge does happen sooner than you would have thought. You know, you're going in with these negative relationships with Dante and Meryl. You've made this huge move the night before. Like, how did you see the dynamics going forward at that point?
I knew I was in trouble instantly. When Nico said, drop your buffs, everybody jumped up and down and they were hugging each other. And Meryl started crying. And I just stood there in like awe and disbelief. I would have not wanted to happen. Merge to me was terrible. It was something that I was so like really looking forward to it. And then it happened and I was like, this is the end. I'm in big trouble now.
Yeah, because you're going to meet Rob for the first time. Obviously, ends up being the winner, huge player in the game, even at that point, throughout the whole game. Right after the Nathan vote, did you pick up that this was not a great situation for you from his perspective specifically?
I actually knew that I was going to be in trouble almost instantly, although Rob is charming. He's very, very charming. Before that, at one point as well, at one of the challenges, I can't remember exactly which one, he also sort of like, he like whispered to me, like, I can't wait to play with you, what, you know, when we merge. So I was like, I felt as if maybe I could still connect on a personal level. But I knew that I'd burned bridges. I knew that I was in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you do have Mike, though, right, who's close to Rob and close to you. Did you feel like that could connect it, or it was too far gone?
I was quite excited for that. I did think that there was a possibility that I could. And at that point, I didn't realize that Nicole was going to go against me as well. So I thought if there was hope for me. I mean, I knew it wasn't the absolute, absolute end. Like, I knew there was, you know, there's always something you can do. So I thought to myself, maybe, you know, Mike could smooth it over a bit. Maybe Nicole could go in and, you know, really help me out from her side. Although... Oh, Rob played this game so well, eh? That man played so damn well, because I don't know why everyone was so worried about him. Like, that, everyone was so incredibly worried about him. At that point, we were 13, and even I went to go scramble by Rob. Why? Where did he get this power from? I don't understand.
I've heard it's the eyes. That's what I keep hearing.
It has to be. I'm telling you, it's voodoo. I've been saying the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he played an incredible game. Like, he should be the threat at the merge. Like, it's crazy that everyone wanted to work with him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even when they got Dante out, I mean, the reasoning behind it was that Dante was stealing food and winning all the challenges, and then Rob won all the challenges after that. It's like,
yeah.
But he was never threat for it. It's incredible. I don't know how he did it, but he did very well.
Yeah, and that's a Kim Spradlin quality, to, like, be able to paint other people have threats, but your threatening qualities, you know, aren't threatening, even when they're the same thing. You know, I've been talking about Rob.
Exactly.
He gets Darrell here, and that's such a key relationship. You met Darrell day one. You had the men's alliance with him that was never tested. So, you know, as far as he knows, and then you work with him on the Nathan vote. Did you know, I mean, when did you know, I guess, even watching it back, that Darrell had been such a key cog for Rob, and what do you think maybe you could have done to keep him on a more Laomei side than with Rob?
I have no idea how Darrell got as far as he did. Like I said, I like him very, very much, and he played a much better game than me, because he got to the end and I didn't. But he was always a non-factor for me, and I think that's how he got so far. He was a non-factor for everybody. Nobody even ever considered that he would get any further. Even when I was aligned with him, when I was doing confessionals, I would forget who was in my alliance. I'd be like, who's the other guy, and they'd be like, no, it's Darrell. I'm like, oh, okay. It was just like a complete non-factor. He managed to sort of coast. I never really thought that he was very tightly aligned to Rob at that point. In actual fact, he just sort of seemed like a flipper to me. He used to flip from alliance to alliance, and never really got a threat on his back, because nobody realized that, well, he just didn't seem strategic at all.
Yeah, and you know, that first vote at the merge, you are going to get a lot of votes. Some of them, you know, decoy votes. How much did you know about what was happening at the time, and what was that feeling like to really, what was it, 6-7? Like, that's a scary situation to be in.
Yeah, at that point I actually knew where all of the votes were going. I actually wasn't so concerned. I was more concerned when my name came up so much the second that when I actually went home, because it was either going to be all me or all Dante within my own mind. So I knew that it was going to be a pretty even split with Merge. I felt quite safe at that point. I did not know about Jock's extra votes. So when it landed up being 6-7, I was confused and really like I was wondering who had flipped on me. But apart from that, yeah, I felt quite calm. It wasn't too stressful for me.
Yeah, so the next vote is when you actually will go home. And you see, like, that was a painful episode for me to watch. Like, as someone who was rooting for you, you were my winner pick as well. Sorry for cursing you in that.
Sorry.
No, I apologize because I retroactively cursed you. Like, that's the whole point of the winner
pick. It's your fault. Okay, great. Let me try to blame myself. I can blame someone else.
I thought it was a good pick. Like, honestly, I'd pick it again. I felt like all my reasoning was really good, and you weren't in a great situation against, you know, Rob and Saula, who were, you know, as we've said, Rob has played one of the best games ever. But I still like my pick. But you know, this episode was hard to watch because I think from what we saw, you were very aware of what was happening. And you were trying so hard. And like, even as someone who analyzes the game, I was like, I don't see a way out here for you. Like, I don't know what you do here. So in that moment, does that resonate? Was that very real for you too?
I really felt as if I was in the spot. When Mike came to say to me, listen, you're in big trouble. I mean, as I said, I knew I was in a small amount of trouble because of the previous votes cast against me. But yeah, I landed up in a situation that was very, very difficult to get out of. A person always runs through scenarios in your head of what you could have done. And I cannot, for the life of me, think of a single thing that I could have done differently to save myself at that point. My only option was throwing Dante under the bus. And I did that with Nicole and Rob in the hopes that I would then be able to get all the votes shifted to Dante. But yeah, when Nicole started calling those votes, the first vote he called was my name, and when my name came up, I knew it. I still turned around and looked at Mike and I said, I'm going home. So yeah, at that point, it was devastating, and I really, you know, and there's no part of me that wanted to leave at that point, not even a little bit. I hadn't even thought of it once. So yeah, it sucked a lot. It sucked. But it wasn't completely unexpected, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, going, you know, you have to work at that point with Rob and Nicole and Saula. Especially, you know, Rob is like the power structure. Nicole could be on your side, but you have to work with the power, as you said, to throw Dante under the bus, who's like another person who could be on the bottom. And I totally see that. But in a different world where Dante does go home over you, do you think there was room for cracks in a different world where some of the swing votes could have come with you against Rob? Or do you really think like you would have been the next one or two out the door, regardless, as Dante was being saved in this vote against you?
I'm actually not quite sure. You know, all you need is a few days in Survivor. So if I just had a little bit more time, then I could have started forging more relationships. I felt as if at that stage, me and Sipe had become very close. So, I mean, maybe I could have tried to sway her. You know, there's Quibus was still in the game at that point. I'm not quite sure if Jacques and I would have ever worked together because we considered each other a threat from day one. But I mean, yeah, it would have given me enough time to start scrambling around and trying to break it up. At that stage, I was already aware, very aware that Rob needed to go. And I do believe that most people at that point have been thinking it's time to do something about it. So if I'd got the Dante's loose changes, maybe we could have tried to do something.
If you had been leading the loose change alliance, you think maybe you could have swayed some people. And if that's true, then they made a really good decision to take you out at that point.
Well, I really hope that's the reason. Like, that should be a good reason. Like, let them take me out because I'm a threat. I'm down with that. But John, no, I do think that there was definitely room to do something like that. Me and Mubs are very, very tight. Mark, if we had given him a solid strategic plan where he felt like he had the numbers, definitely would have gone with us. Like I said, I was building a good relationship with Sipe at that point. Sipe and Mubba were very close. So, yeah, I do think that there was definitely, or there was a possibility at that point to have pulled a big enough alliance to start feeling secure again.
Yeah, I want to talk about, you know, two key relationships who vote you out. You know, the first being Mike, as you mentioned, who you seem to immediately forgive. Like, how much did you know about what he was doing there?
I actually knew it. I knew something was up. That day at camp was very, very somber. Mike was looking very, very sad. At some point, he actually even, like, shed a few tears. And I was feeling so, like, I felt so bad because I knew that he was in a situation where he would then just be next to go. Well, that's what I would have thought. So, I knew he had voted for me immediately, especially when I looked at him and I said, I'm going home. And he looked at me all sadly at tribal council. My immediate feeling was guilt rather than sadness. I was like, I put this poor man in the spot. This is terrible. I felt terrible for Mubba as well, because she was the only one who voted with me. So I actually assumed that she would have been next to go. But I mean, Mike had no other option. You cannot be upset with the man because he had no other option. He could have just been loyal and friendly, and you know, he would have just spotted himself in the long run, because I had done my own scrambling and I wasn't even able to save myself. So I do not hold it against him.
Yeah, and then Nicole, who we see, you know, she doesn't like lie to your face, but I said she didn't lie to your face, but she stabbed you in the back, and it's a moment that we hear about in your jury speak, so it clearly had a lot of impact. So for someone who you'd been so close to, you seem to be pretty immediately angry at this. So why was that betrayal so red hot? Where like Mike, you know, that was, I understand why you weren't mad at Mike, but Nicole was like the opposite reaction.
I just feel as if Nicole had more of an option to have helped me. There was nothing Mike could have done at that point. He was an original Su'ula. He was still trying to get that tight relationship with Rob. There was no way for him to have tried. Nicole literally deliberately screwed me. Well, that's how I feel in any case, because when Rob approached me and said, I believe that you're voting for Nicole tonight, and I said to him, that's absolutely not the case. I spoke to Nicole. I'd spoken to Nicole that morning. Why had at no point during the day Nicole gone to Rob and said to Rob, listen, you know, I believe Dante's gunning for me, or Jeffrey says that he's not going to vote for me, or something like that. So why was she not trying to help me? Which I don't mind. I mean, the anger that I'm, the resentment that I have towards her is actually not so much how she played the game, because she played it excellently. It's just that she was never able to own it. Never. Not until the end was she able to say, listen, I screwed you deliberately because I wanted to get ahead.
Why wasn't she trying to help you? Like, you were an ally for her. Dante wasn't. If she had that power, you know, do you have a sense of why she didn't use it? Like, you know, I don't know how it behooved her to lose an ally at that point in losing you.
To me, it doesn't make much sense either. Like I said, I mean, we were allies, and I do believe that if there was any way to save me at that point, Nicole could have maybe, you know, done something from her side to help save me. Maybe to her, I was a threat as well. Maybe she didn't feel 100% secure, because I do know that when we were still in Su'ula, she made me promise that the Ra would go before anybody else from their tribe. So I think that maybe she didn't feel 100% secure, and she didn't want to be Lame strong later on. So she probably just decided to stick with Su'ula, get rid of as many of the other people as possible so that she could make it further.
And now a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And we are back. Yeah, well, that's going to resonate on the jury. We'll talk about that. And I really do want to talk about all these jury questions I've had for a long time, because, you know, we can call Meryl the queen of the jury, and then you come in next as the king, kind of like the foreperson of this jury, definitely there with like the eye rolls and, you know, the facial expressions. So I want to get, you know, a sense of that from you. Firstly, you know, watching some major game moments like the Sipe blindside, the Steffi blindside, that's what kind of comes to mind for me. But what were those moments at tribal council like that really stand out to you as a juror watching them in action?
Oh, all of those big moves are so great, because we were so hungry for something to happen. it just started feeling a little bit like almost predictable to us. And, you know, it was heartbreaking because all of the people that we loved were going home by one by one. So when the big moves came up against the big players like Sipe and Steffi and all of these original amigos, it was just incredible. I mean, it was so much fun to watch. Being on the jury has been the most exceptional time of my entire life. I lived my best life on Ponderosa. Mm-hmm. I got to roast these people, and we laughed. It was just so much fun. And it's fun to watch it from that perspective, because your dignity comes back like instantly. The minute that you have like a hot shower, you become a human being again. And then you get to sit there and you look at all of these dreary looking things. And it's actually much fun. I mean, this is where the eye rolling and stuff came from. I had absolutely promised myself that I was never going to be that person. Having watched so much Survivor before, I know that nobody likes a bitter jury. Nobody does. I didn't want to be that guy. Before, every single time I would go, I would like school myself. I'd look at myself in the mirror. I'd be like, Jeffrey, today you are not going to be that bitch. You are not. And within 5 minutes, I'd be like cackling and rolling my eyes at because they just played so nicely into it. Like we would talk before and we'd be like, oh, the first thing Nicole's going to say is, I just came here to be brave. And then like Daryl's going to rub his like little beard and... like everybody just like played it, or Steffi will say, wow. Like, we just laughed and laughed. It was incredible. It was so much fun.
Yeah. And as you said, like the people coming to the jury weren't those people. They were largely like the people on your side, which must have been sad, like, you know, seeing Mike work it out in real time. You know, Maba comes back and tells you she had an idol, which that must have been like the opposite experience of seeing like the Steffis go down. You know, that's frustrating, surely, as a juror.
Yeah, oh, it was incredibly frustrating. Every time that, you know, somebody that I loved went home, it took me so much time to process it. I do believe that, like, I was strangely calm throughout my entire Survivor experience. Like I said to you, at no point did it really even feel like I was there. Even when I got voted out, I wasn't, like, devastated. But I can remember when Mother got voted out, I was just so angry and upset. I even took off at Pusipe at Ponderosa. And she's like, what have I done to you? I was, like, angry. Mm-hmm. And Mike as well. I mean, at no point did I not expect him to be in final three. Right from day one, I knew for a fact. I wanted to sit next to him, obviously. But I really, in my mind, had believed him to be the winner. So when he got voted out, it threw me for a sixth. I'm thinking, now, who am I going to vote for? Because I'd only ever thought of one person. So then I had to rearrange my own thoughts and try and decide who else was deserving enough, you know?
Yeah, and the game was really different, I think. When you got voted out to what it became, it got pretty dark. And, you know, you're on the jury hearing about the stuff happening with Jacques. And it's, I think, a very different, you know, sense of what was happening in the game than when you were there. So what was it like hearing about these things and what was kind of happening on the island?
Yeah, you know, I really feel as if I was lucky in the fact that my Survivor experience was pretty much all positive. The weather was absolutely shocking and I really legitimately starved. And I didn't really have any, like, real like emotional baggage to take out of it, because the stuff that happened after I left, a lot of it was jarring. It just seemed to have become very, very like frosty there, and there was animosity and bullying, and I'm glad to a point that I escaped the experience unscathed, because you know, it did seem as if it got very, very real.
Yeah, you know, Steffi comes into Ponderosa, incredible scenes. You certainly had words with her. Can you talk us through a bit about that night and what that was like in that moment?
I just think so many people had so much sort of unresolved issues. And, you know, Steffi did come across as being a bully. She really, really did. I think she might have been battling with hunger or something. But, I mean, she's one of my favorite people now. She's an incredible, incredible human being. She's softly natured and she's wonderful. I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. But I think that just a lot of pent-up frustrations when she got there, just everybody had something to say. Yeah, and I mean, we got it out. There was a nice thing about it. It's so nice to be able to sort of debrief as well, because then you get to say, you get it out. And then the next morning when she woke up, we were all good friends again. And we all got to see the side of her that it's clearly not what she was like when she was there.
Yeah. For all of the eye rolling to like the actual players still in the game, like it seemed like the dynamic on the jury was kind of positive. As you said, like to become friends with Dante, who had threatened to hug you with his fist, you know, a couple of weeks earlier, like it actually did seem like it was a good thing between the jurors themselves.
It was actually so nice. It was really, really nice to get to know people on a personal level where, you know, you're not conniving against each other. Meryl is absolutely incredible. She is so hilarious and she's so much fun. And I never gave her enough credit. I really didn't. It would have actually been nice to work with her. And Dante, I can never be upset with. I'll never be upset with the man because I antagonized him until he got to that point. Like, it's not... If it was like a random, like I woke up in the morning and this man's towering over me with his fist, it would be a different story. But I mean, I pushed him to that point, so I can't be upset with the man for it. But yeah, no, it was lovely to get to know everybody on a personal level. I do think, I don't know, Nicole seems to really believe that the good guys got to the end, but I really do believe that the good guys got to Ponderosa. Mm-hmm. So it was nice. It was a good experience.
Yeah, I want to talk about how the jury saw the game. I've had so many questions. I have some combos I'm going to throw at you and find out who finally, you know, we know would have won maybe in some combinations from your perspective. But just broadly, who was in good stead with the jury? Who was in bad stead? Like, obviously, Rob's going to win, but how was he perceived? Someone like Steffi, did she have a shot? Letitia's someone I've been confused about. You know, how was the jury viewing these people in the game?
I genuinely, in my own mind, do not believe that anybody could have gone up against Rob and won, besides if Mike had sat there. Okay. Because Mike had played his game and he had made emotional connections and people liked him on a personal level. Apart from that, I really don't think that there's anybody that could have stood up against Rob. Actually, even Nicole got more votes than I expected. Letitia, she came out so nicely at the end. That last episode or two where she got feisty was amazing, but we never saw that side of her. So it just never seemed as if she was playing the game. Mm-hmm. So it would have been a two, I believe. I can't think of anybody that would have sat up against Robin one.
What about a combination of like Steffi, Nicole, and Letitia? Who do you think wins that?
Steffi, Nicole, Letitia.
If they take out Rob at Final Four, if Final Five goes ahead and Darrell is taken out, what would that have been?
Sure. Anything. Letitia, to me, was never going to win, I don't think. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who she was with. Probably Nicole. Probably Nicole, I think. Because she played well. I mean, she did. She played well. She just played very underhandedly. So, yeah, probably Nicole would have won in that scenario, I think.
Who would you have voted Steffi for in that scenario? Because that three, like, who would you have been?
I was always going to give the vote to who deserved it the most out of the three on the end. I was determined not to be that guy to have played the game and then have everybody say to me, like, your emotions got the better of you. So I probably actually would have given it to Nicole at that point.
Wow.
It all depends, really. But, I mean, she did play the better strategic game. It's just she played it in a very horrible kind of way.
Interesting, yeah. So that, you know, that makes Nicole's move at the Final Five look a little worse, because there's a world maybe where she can win in that combination of people. You know, and Final Tribal Council, was there anything important that you feel we didn't see? You obviously have your speech, but from what I've heard, there was more of like a speech component and then more of a discussion component. So was anything important you think was left out?
No, I don't think so. I think that they got the gist of it quite nice. I mean, obviously, all of us had a lot more to say. I didn't only address Nicole. I had words for Darrell and Rob as well. We asked questions and things like that. I mean, there was a lot that was left out, but nothing that, you know, sort of doesn't make sense. So, no, I don't think that they left anything serious out. The group discussion became very, very tense later on in any case. I don't know if that would have made for good television.
Yeah, so you said, you know, you were surprised Nicole got as many votes as she did. Were there any people in particular that surprised you by voting for her?
I was incredibly surprised by every single vote that she got. I must be honest, I genuinely, I believe that it was a whitewash. Like, I got such a fight. I was going to be like, I was going to pull a Kanye West and, like, snatch it away from her. This was not how I expected it in. But I was quite surprised. I was very surprised that Jock, being such a big fan, voted for it. But I mean, he has his own reasons behind it. Steffi was incredible that she voted for it, because she was spitting fire on that final speech of hers. But every single vote that she got was a surprise to me.
Yeah. And you say you thought Rob was definitely going to win, and you obviously were impressed with his game out on the island. You know, being a super fan of the show and watching it back, like, what are your thoughts on him as the winner and on his game now?
I just think that he just played such an exceptional game. Like I said, I can't explain how he did it. I wish I could explain how he did it, but he did. He had this incredible way of pulling people in. And he did. He just played such an exceptional game. I think the last thing that I said to him when my little tweet thing that wasn't in there was that, I mean, I can't and I don't have to really like you as a human being, but I cannot fault you, and I can't find a single fault in how he played the game. So to me, he was the clear winner. It would have been such an injustice to the game if he hadn't won.
Yeah, I see that, and I think that there were definitely enough votes. So you could have been scared that maybe he wasn't going to win, but, you know, from what you're saying and from the votes he got, it does really seem like a lot of people thought he played that exceptionally, that he was never losing, you know, a majority or at least 5 of the 10 votes.
Yeah, no, to me, it was definitely the clear winner.
Yeah. And then, you know, watching it all back from a personal, you know, perspective, being a fan with your family, what was that experience like?
It was actually quite surreal watching it back. I thought that I was going to really not like it. I thought that it was just going to be like horrible to see myself in, you know, those situations and how I, you know, reacted and behaved. And it just the whole experience just felt so surreal to me. Watching it back, it's like I'm watching a fictional character. It's like, who is this guy? So it doesn't feel strange to me. I'm like, oh, that's embarrassing. Because I'm like, this is not even me. But who is this? Who's this person that looks just like me? So it wasn't so strange watching it back. It was actually quite lacquer. I enjoyed it. I actually really, really enjoyed the way they put it together. I'm very, very happy with my edits. I don't believe that they left anything of substantial value out. And I didn't come across to myself as looking like a complete idiot. So... Yeah, I'm very happy with the whole thing. I can't watch my audition video to this day.
Why? I watched it.
Oh, it's cringy. It makes me cringe every time. And that's what I was so worried. I was like, oh my gosh, if I can't watch a 3-minute video of myself, now I've got to go through like 18 episodes of Urals.
It was enough to make you my winner pick, though, so it must have been pretty good.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, we appreciate it so much for you to come on the podcast and explain a little bit about your game. We do have a couple of questions from the listeners as well that we didn't get to. Sheldon Cuppen wants to know, could you have handled Ma, Letitia and Darrell better before the swap for after the merge? So as we've kind of talked about it, how important they became as swing votes. But, you know, as you said, Darrell was a non-factor. Letitia, you thought she was going early. And then they become somehow so Ula strong. So is that something you kind of look back at and regret?
I absolutely could have done better. There's a number of scenarios that could have been vastly, vastly different. I choose not to dwell on them, though, because the game is fluid. I mean, there's no way to know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen in the game. And to myself, I was playing the best that I could at the time. But yes, I absolutely shouldn't have dismissed Letitia from day one. We actually got along very well. I liked her a lot. We cuddled at night. We held hands. We kept each other warm. Like, I could have made a really solid alliance here, but to me, she was a non-factor. The same thing with Darrell. I didn't want to align with people that I really believed were not going to make it very far. So yes, I could have handled that better. I definitely could have. Lao Mei as a whole should have done better. Had we known we were going to carry on winning challenges, we should have all bound together. And then we would have had the same Saula Strong thing going into merge. But what happened is we had that rift from day one, or not from day one, from like day three, with the Boys Alliance versus Mubba versus Letitia versus everybody, that it just kind of caused a divide in our tribe that put us in jeopardy, all of us later on.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing with a divide like that is like when you don't go to tribal, you never get that out of your system. The divide just goes through the game. You know, Saula went into the swap with 5 amigos. They'd voted out people on the other side. They'd consolidated those relationships. But you guys, you know, never got a chance to do that.
Exactly. That's why I was saying earlier on, I do think that it was a detriment to a point. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to go to tribal council. You don't want to, you know, have a possibility of getting voted out if you can't. I mean, if you're not going to. That's why I wasn't ever prepared to throw a challenge. But yeah, it did. While winning incessantly like that definitely did. Yeah, cost us down the line, I think.
And Andrew Walker wants to know, who was the snarkiest jury member? I think we can all agree that, you know, it was you. The gifts will live on forever. But taking you out of the equation, as the snarkiest jury member, who do you crown as the other snarkiest jury member?
I love it. I would love that title. That title sounds amazing to me. You know, going into Survivor, the only thing I wanted to get out of it really, besides from winning, was gifts and memes. It's
oh
all
my
I
God.
Wanted.
You have it.
I got it in abundance. It's incredible.
You have a million rand worth of gifts. Like, that's the prize you win, you know?
Oh, that's fantastic. I do think snarkiest, apart from me, was probably Dante. That man is so witty, eh? He is incredibly funny, but he's got that like dry sense of humor, so it's not like our like major eye rolls and these like flamboyant hand gestures and things like that, but he would like throw these little like comments on the side and we'd just like can ourselves because he's so dry and serious. I'd say probably Dante.
Yeah, I mean, like, as someone, I love a good eye roll. Like, I can appreciate the eye rolls, especially when some of like the more frustrating and darker things were happening. I know we had some words on the podcast of like, where, how far is too far? I think that's a legitimate conversation to have in terms of like how vocal the jury is, but like so much of the time I was like, you know, speak for me, like that's a great thing.
That's exactly it. Even myself, like I said, I really schooled myself not to do it, And I couldn't physically bring myself not to do it because they just made it so easy. Like, they just walked straight into it, like, every time. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming to talk with us on the podcast. For people who listen to the podcast, what is the hashtag? I feel like we have a late one here. I want to go with hashtag gift prize because, you know, who is the real winner? The person who wins Survivor or the person who has the most gifts made of them?
I'm going with the latter. I'm going with the latter, definitely.
I mean, look, Rob is a, you know, amazing winner. But is there one gif of him at the moment? Like, who really won?
Exactly. Like, I'm winning Twitter. This is my thing now. I've got this. At least I got that. Well, oh, gosh, so funny.
Jeff, if people want to find you on Twitter, send you gifs of yourself, and on Instagram, where can they find you on social media and follow what you're doing?
I am on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, G Cook Tonneson. Twitter, I'm actually not quite sure. You'd have to just search my name, I suppose you'll find it.
I just tagged you. I'll tag you in this post.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not so good, like, technologically.
But you have all the gifts. Amazing stuff. Well, we really appreciate you coming onto the podcast to explain all that jury stuff, to finally find out who would have won between Nicole, Letitia, and Steffi, at least from your perspective. Really intriguing stuff. This is actually the last Survivor South Africa deep dive. As I said, for the players that I will be doing for this season, we have Sipe out already, Jacques, Mike, Rob, and Nicole, and now this podcast as well. But our coverage continues. Larue Botha is coming next week, the series director of Survivor South Africa. You guys should definitely not miss that interview. It's something we've been trying to get going for over a year, and now, you know, the network is finally on board. So he's a super fan who creates Survivor. I think that'll be amazing to listen to. And we will probably, or at least possibly, I think we're getting Nico on in the future as well. So subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed so that you don't miss any of that. You know, follow me at Shannon Gates as well so you don't miss it. Australian Survivor deep dives are also completely done. Baden, Janine, Pia, and Luke, that's finished. I've been doing a lot. The segment is getting longer and longer. I apologize, but I was also on the season 39 voicemails with Rob Cicinino for episode 2, which was great. And there I announced that I'm going to be doing my own show for US Survivor, talking to these amazing International Survivor contestants about the US as well. So a lot going on. I hope you guys will subscribe and follow. But until then, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on to share your game.
Thank you for having me. That was awesome.
Yeah, so much fun. So many great insights. I've really loved doing all of these deep dives. I appreciate all the amazing people that have come on, all the guests that we've had, and to you guys for listening as well. So thank you so much again, Jeff. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thanks to the listeners, and we will see you with Larue. Don't forget to check it out. Bye.